Well, welcome everybody. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk in this empty slot. And I'm here to tell you something about paracomplex geometry and how it how I recently found out it appears in physics. Originally, the reason I was interested in this geometry was because it comes up in T-duality quite naturally, but that is mostly not what I'll be talking about today, but I'll make few remarks on that because it's gonna come up again. Well, the reason I found out it comes up is that is this notion of twisted supersymmetry that, I mean, I think that's not a good name in particular because I will be talking about topological twists, so I'll call it para supersymmetry, but the just so that you know, the people that have talked about this type of thing, in particular Hall, they called it twisted supersymmetry. But anyway, so here's the overview of the talk. I'll first give some basic definitions and tell you about these paracomplex structures, how they're related to complex structures, and or how they're more like analogical to complex structures, and then say something about generalized geometry, generalized paracomplex structures, generalized paracular structures, and then I'll move to these unusual supersymmetric sigma models. And in the third part of the talk, I'll try to say some stuff about how the topological twists of these theories behave. And then in the last part, I'll talk about how the generalized paracomplex structures or even generalized complex structures can be used in constructing 2D AKZ theories. So here first I'll try to give you some sort of intuition about what these paracomplex structures are about. There's always, basically like whenever there's some statement about complex geometry, there's always some analogical statement about paracomplex geometry. And naively, how you make that transition is you just change a bunch of signs. And like in that way, it just sort of sounds sort of silly, but you end up getting actually interesting examples if you go a little bit deeper. So basically, like in complex geometry, you have a lot of the times it happens that a supersymmetry imposes the complex structure on a target in a on a sigma model. But in the case of paracomplex geometry, you get the corresponding thing is this I'll call it para. But it's the twisted supersymmetry. And what that means is that here the supercharges I'll just say it like this, they square to minus the translations. I'll be talking about 2D sigma models. And you might think that, I mean, anyway, I'll get to a lot of comments about this later. So let me tell you about this paracomplex geometry. So a paracomplex manifold is a even dimensional manifold. Even dimensional manifold equipped with two complementary real distributions I'll call them L and L tilde of the same rank. So what I mean by this complementary just means that Tm splits S L plus L tilt. And these distributions are integrable. So what that means is that locally in a patch, I get, it's gonna look like a product product of these two directions, and the sort of the tangent directions to this will be given by this, tangent directions to this given by this, and I get some coordinates along these directions, which I'm gonna call x tilde i. And as a consequence of this definition, you have something that you might call a para-holomorphic structure, which just means that these coordinates, the changes of coordinates, I can find some changes of coordinates that will basically just look like this. So these untilded coordinates just transform with themselves. The tilded transform with themselves, and this is basically your analogy of the holomorphic anti-holomorphic coordinates. Alternatively, you can also just make this definition in terms of this almost structure, same way in a complex geometry. So alternatively, M to N, I can see it as a almost paracomplex manifold M to N K, where this K is some endomorphism of the tangent bundle that squares to identity. And then as a consequence, it will have two real distributions, where if I restrict to these, I'll just get the, so they're the eigendistributions of K, these L and L tilde. Such that, so I said this is an almost, such that the Nyonius tensor of K vanishes. Just, it's exactly the same as complex geometry. What is not the same as in complex geometry is that what can happen is that you can have one of these distributions integrable and the other not. So you have this sort of notion of half integrability, which just doesn't happen in complex geometry because the analogs there would be the holomorphic and anti-holomorphic tangent bundles, and they're just complex conjugates of each other. So it just doesn't happen. But so we can have and really from here, this is everything you need to know to generalize all that you know about complex structures in this paracomplex realm. And we'll see that over and over again today. Some examples of these paracomplex structure, paracomplex manifolds. So of course, if I just product a manifold with itself, that's gonna give me a relatively trivial paracomplex structure or manifold, but little more interesting ones are, for example, a total space of a tangent bundle or cotangent bundle, where basically one of the distributions is the vertical one, and that one is always integrable. But to get the horizontal one, I need to choose a distribution. I need to choose a connection, and this connection has to be flat in order for this other to be integrable. So that's like a natural example of these half integrable paracomplex structures. All right, and now I have a natural thing, which is a para-Hermitian structure. So a para-Hermitian structure, a para-Hermitian manifold is a para-complex manifold. Equipped with a signature NN metric such that I'll call it eta, such that the distributions, the eigendistributions are Lagrangian, or rather null with respect to it. Which this is in terms of K, it just means that K is an NT isometry. And as a result of this definition, if I make the, just similarly in Hermitian geometry, if I define this contraction eta with k, I get a skew 2 form. And it's almost symplectic, meaning that it's non-degenerate, but not necessarily closed. And if it's closed, then I'm just going to call it para-Kähler, or
ever studying these things where like some directions are complex and some are paracomplex, like scalar and scene signature bits?
I have not encountered these examples, but it's definitely a natural thing. Or even in particular, like you could, right, that you would have a product of a sort of like a, yeah, I think that's like a totally natural thing to happen, and it probably just happens. You can, starting from a para-complex manifold, you can always, or from a para-Hermitian manifold, you can always construct almost complex one just by choosing a metric on one of the subspaces that gives you a map into L-dual, and then you map from L-dual to L-tilde by this metric. And you can do that with L tilde as well, and you can construct an almost complex structure like that. And so I guess, like, if you chose that metric only on a subspace of this, and then there's probably some sort of flatness condition that's going to ensure that it's integrable. Yeah, I can imagine that happening. And right, so that's. I think that's the first bullet point. Let me now give a quick rundown of generalized geometry for those who are not familiar. I'm gonna say very little things about it, just for the time reasons, but that is one of the main things that I'm interested in, but so generalized geometry. So here, what I understand by generalized geometry is just the studying geometry of the bundle T plus T star. So this bundle T plus T star has a natural structure of an exact ground algebraoid. What that means is that it has a natural pairing of split signature. This pairing is just given by, if I have two sections of T plus T star, so vector plus one form and another vector and one form, I just contract them pairwise. And that's the pairing. And it also has a natural bracket operation that satisfies Jacobi identity, which is given, the tangent component is just given by the Lie bracket, And the remaining part is some extension of the Lie bracket. And this is called the Dorfman bracket. What I can do to this Dorfman bracket to still preserve the Jacobi identity, I can add a closed three form and contract it with these two vectors. So I can do this. And I'll just denote it like this. And that would be and this H is what comes up in physics as the H flux. All right. Right. And so now what you can do on this bundle, what this generalized geometry consists of, you can study various endomorphisms of this bundle and other structures on it, connections, etc. And you get some interesting results. So one thing you are probably familiar with is generalized complex geometry, because that had a big boom in the past many years, starting from Marco Gualtieri's thesis. But one thing that hasn't been studied that much is generalized paracomplex geometry. You can do exactly the same thing as with complex geometry. So let me define what is a generalized paracomplex structure. So it's an endomorphism. It's an endomorphism of this tangent bundle that squares to identity and is an anti-isometry of this. Is it in a very similar way as I had in the Par-Hermitian structure? And additionally, I require that it's integrable with respect to this bracket operation. So the integrability just means the obvious thing, that the eigenbundles are involutive. One thing that I want to remark in this context is that this bundle T plus T star So T plus T star is a Par-Hermitian vector bundle. And Par-Hermitian vector bundle just means that it has an involution that squares to identity and that satisfies that Par-Hermitian compatibility condition so this like eta is given by this metric, and then the endomorphism is given by just the one that's identity on T and minus identity on T star. So this Par-Hermitian structure always exists. But as I just told you, in general, I can define some more complicated things that square to identity and have this property. And those are the generalized paracomplex structures. In particular, there's two obvious examples that I basically already talked about. So I'll call them sort of suggestively like this. So there's this example on any Parkaler. I have two natural endomorphisms of the generalized tangent bundle, T plus T star, which is this. So you can check that these linear properties just automatically hold, and it will be integrable if and only if d omega is zero. And for, I also have this one, the diagonal one, and this one is integrable if and only if k is integrable in the Frobenius sense. So if the Nienhaus tensor of k vanishes, then this will be integrable as a generalized paracomplex structure. Now, what's interesting about these guys that define the para-Hermitian structure is that, first of all, they commute just as a consequence of these compatibility conditions. So they commute. And if I define this thing, so this will be just some, this is just a composition of endomorphisms. So this will be some endomorphism, but this defines a split signature, signature metric. I'll call it H. Just like this. So those are two properties that this pair of generalized paracomplex structures satisfy. And I'm gonna generalize this structure in the next definition. Some of you who are familiar with generalized scalar structures, I'd already recognize it. So I'm gonna call this generalized para-Kähler structure. Is a pair of, I'm going to abbreviate, generalized paracomplex structures such that defines a split signature metric on T plus T star. And this is usually called a generalized metric. Yes. Right. Exactly analogous definition is in terms of you can define generalized scalar structures, which are just a pair of generalized complex structures, such that the product defines a positive definite generalized metric. And here you can see all these changes of signs. If I were to define a generalized complex structure, I would just put minus here and plus over here. Again, for these generalized paracomplex structures, in the case of generalized complex structures, there's a statement that these are equivalent to a choice of maximally isotropic complex subbundle of complexified T plus T star that's involutive. And here the analogous statement would be that these are the generalized paracomplex structures are equivalent to a pair of transversal real maximally isotropic subbundles of T plus T star, i.e. Dirac structures. Okay. I think that's all for number one. And I can move to the talk about that twisted or Hara supersymmetry. So this twisted supersymmetry or parasupersymmetry is something that I found discussed in Hall's papers from 97 and 99, and since then I haven't seen many people discuss them. But really, they're just like the appropriate version of supersymmetry just for paracomplex structures. So let me tell you what a 2D para SUSY is. It's this. So I'll have four real supercharges that satisfy these conditions, as opposed to in the usual 2.2 SUSY, I would have Q bar here and I would have plus here. And I really want to think of this as a real superalgebra, because if you complexify it, then you'll just get the usual 2.2 supersymmetry. And so this can be diagonalized by some change of coordinates, and I can get something that looks like, let me write it like this. What I mean by this is it's the first line you read with one, the second line you read with two. And so you can see that the 1.1 usual supersymmetry sits in there, but the extension to 2.2 supersymmetry I do with the minus sign. Also from here, you can see that the R symmetry of this thing is SO11 cross SO11. And as opposed to SO2 cross SO2. And I will now tell you a statement about sigma models with this supersymmetry. So this is a theorem of Abu Zaid and Hall from 97, which basically states that a 2D sigma model admits this 2.2 para SUSY if and only if the target has a pair of para emission structures. Para emission structures k plus minus eta, such that this holds, where this DP operator is just the paracomplex analog of the DC operator from complex geometry. Omega plus minus are just the fundamental forms associated to these K plus minus structures. And H is a closed three form, which is an H flux. It's just the H flux of the sigma model. And you might be familiar with the complex version of this, which is the famous result of Gates, Hall, Rochek from 89, who found that the most general geometry of a 2.2 supersymmetric sigma model is given by this bihermitian structure that basically satisfies the complex exact analog of what I just wrote down. Now, in the complex world, this data of this pair of Hermitian structures has been recognized by Gualtieri to have a nice description in terms of generalized geometry, and it's exactly equivalent to the generalized scalar structures. That was even one of the motivations of studying these things. But in this paracomplex case, here's a theorem that's coming up in a paper soon that I have with my two of my supervisors. It basically just says that the above geometry is equivalent to the generalized parakeller. Geometry over there. So basically here I have this tangent bundle data and I can just repackage it in terms of this pair of commuting generalized paracomplex structures. And the integrability of these paracomplex structures exactly corresponds to first the integrability of these, the tangent bundle integrability of these, and then this like additional differential condition. You might be familiar, this people sometimes write this condition in terms of these connections. So I can write down this connection where this nabla with circle is the Levi-Civita of the metric, and then I would just require that the two k's are parallel with respect to these connections. All right. Oops. Right. So that brings me to the right. So you have this sort of weird supersymmetry, and this is the geometry. And so the obvious next question is, what about the topological twists? Because I have the supersymmetry, I have the R symmetry. I can try to use that to. So usually, what you do in these topological twists, you just use the additional R symmetry to alter your Lorentz or the super Lorentz generator. And what ends up happening if you do it right is that the spinners of the theory, then half of them behave like scalars, the other half behave like one-forms, and you get a topological theory. And so here I'll say, maybe I'll erase something. I want to draw a picture. Most of what I say right now is just applicable in the usual twisting story as well. So what happens is that I have some 2,2 supersymmetry, which is equivalent to the data of a pair of two generalized structures, complex or paracomplex. And then you can, in general, you have a two inequivalent way of twisting this theory, which this would be the A twist, this would be the B twist. In terms of the geometrical data, this twisting just corresponds to sort of forgetting half of the geometrical data. And So here you have a topological theory with target. And here you have. So the theory that you get from twisting only knows about one of the generalized structures. And a special case of this is the Kähler or Parr-Kähler model. Where it's basically the example of the generalized Parr-Kähler structure that I wrote down, the simple one, where JA looks like the what I wrote down before. In the complex case, you'd have one minus, and this sort of accesses the symplectic geometry. And this other twist, in the case that I wrote down before, is the diagonal one. Again, in a complex geometry, these would be the Kähler structures, and this just accesses the paracomplex. Manifold. And if I just have a more generalized Kähler or generalized Parr-Kähler structure, well, then it's more complicated. And you have to deal with this pair of Parr emission structures. But luckily, it turns out that if you look at it from the point of view of generalized geometry, the twists are way more tractable. And really, you only need to look at it from the point of view of these generalized structures. And what happens is that the theories, the observables in these theories, will just be given by the Lie algebraic cohomologies of these eigenbundles, of the eigenbundles of the generalized structures. And that's easier to handle than the pairs over there. And so I think here, great, I think I'm doing good on time, so I can say a little bit about how T-duality comes up in paracomplex geometry, because it sort of plays into this thing that I'm talking about over here. Because in the situation of the paracomplex structure, so in the complex geometry, you'll just have an eigenbundle, this Lie algebraic, which will be given by the eigenbundle of the generalized structure. And then you'll have other eigenbundle, which will be just a complex conjugate of that. But in the real case, you just have two eigenbundles, which don't know about each other. And so you might expect that, in particular, this like B-type twist would give you two inequivalent twists. It sort of splits like this because you're talking about paracomplex structure, not about complex structure, and you don't have the complex conjugation that would be relating the two. And that brings me to the to how T-duality relates to this. So I've studied this in particular in the context of double field theory. What that is the main sort of motto or the goal that you're trying to achieve a theory that would have T-duality built in as a covariant sort of transformation from within the theory. But what you end up, if you sort of like are careful, what you end up getting these paracomplex manifolds because, so you get this. So the goal is to like create this extended spacetime where in addition to like your usual manifold, you would have these dual directions. And the manifold would look sort of like a product of them. And what these dual directions represent, they represent some sort of like space-time directions corresponding to the winding modes. So that's exactly the situation we have in a paracomplex manifold. It's really the right model for that because these, I will have these x and x tilde coordinates, real coordinates that split the manifold locally like this, and I can talk about what it means to have this extended spacetime. And in particular, if I have a, what happens if I have a para-Hermitian structure, this splitting of the manifold that I wrote down is actually through the metric that I have is the same as L plus L dual. And that's the same as the generalized geometry on sort of half-dimensional foliation of the manifold. So that is sort of like that is the goal that you're trying to achieve. But also additionally, this is the same as if both are integrable, I can do the same with these other directions. So this is also the same as t plus t star of these dual directions. And so I have, basically what I get here is an isomorphism of two Courant algebroids, where one lives along one set of directions and the other lives along the other set of directions. And really this should be, in principle, the sort of like geometrical realization of t-duality. And this is a conjecture, but what I would expect to happen here is exactly the same thing, where I just get like two seemingly inequivalent twists, where one basically, so in the B case, in a complex geometry, what it looks like what these observable looks like, they're just like holomorphic forms valued in the anti-holomorphic vector fields or something like this, right? And so if you look at the real case, I'll get basically like forms on M valued with vector fields in M tilde, or I could get forms on M tilde valued in vector fields in M. And so those I would just exactly expect to be, from the physical point of view, t-dual, just because I'm getting like this redundancy and I have to kill it by something. So that's a conjecture, but I would expect something like this to happen.
Are you saying the B and A twist?
No, just within this B twist, I would get like two different ways of writing it just because I have two different, the two eigenbundles of this guy are not, like I don't have a complex conjugation between them. Basically what ends up, right, like what is in the complex case the complex conjugation, I would end up to be something analogous to t-duality.
But the usual argument is that
right, that's true. Yeah, I mean, that's totally true. Of course, you can also do just like the usual mirror symmetry here and just see what that does. That's another.
This is a different kind of
t-duality. I would, yeah, right, like different kind, yeah. In this sense, different kind, yes. What I didn't say here is that what you get in this A-type twist, you just get, again, like a symplectic. But here, they're both just like different. And so it just, right. Brings me to number four. And so here I explained that basically whether you're interested in the complex or the paracomplex story, from 2.2 supersymmetric model, you just, by twisting, you construct these topological theories. And the topological theories know only about sort of half of the geometrical data, in particular about a generalized complex structure. The other one, it even up to some like little more technical problems, the other one doesn't even need to be, I think the other one doesn't even need to be integrable. So that's just like a relatively good relaxation, but then you might ask, okay, well, can I always construct a topological theory just from the, just sort of like the other way around, just start from a generalized complex structure and try to give a topological theory, which would, in particular, maybe for these extremal cases, give me the A model and B model. This is a thing that people have been doing in the complex case, and it has been partially answered. In particular, what you expect to get in the complex case is, for a generalized complex structure, you expect to get something like this, these type of theories that Kevin has been working on, which have this target where part of the directions are symplectic, part of them are homomorphic, because the generalized complex structures have this like generalized Dabu theorem that tells you that basically always this is how the generalized complex manifold looks like. And it's going to be just analogous in the paracomplex setting. And as I said, indeed you can write down. So okay. So here's the strategy that we're trying to do that with. So there, as I said, there have been works trying to do this, but somehow they're not fully general for, in particular, the B model is like the extremal diagonal case of the B model is a little more complicated. But what we hope is the correct general procedure to do that with is look at this grand algebraic myth, H-flux. So it's well known that any grand algebraic, in fact, gives you a 3D AKZ theory. So in particular, it gives a 2D shifted symplectic manifold. But in the case of this grand algebraic, this is an exact one, the AKZ theory would be just sort of trivial because it's just for the fact that it's an exact grand algebraic, it's a special case. But what I can do is I can now in this 3D, in this two-shifted target, I can look at Lagrangians. And the Lagrangian will define a one-shifted symplectic manifold, and in particular give a 2D boundary AKZ theory. And so the obvious thing to do now is take a generalized complex or generalized paracomplex structure, which is an endomorphism in here, and its eigenbundle is defining a Lagrangian, and so just take those Lagrangians and see what that gives you. So take Lagrangian to be the eigenbundle of a generalized paracomplex structure, and the generalized paracomplex structures are interesting in this setup because there are examples of generalized paracomplex structures that correspond to a real Poisson structure, and so it should just give the usual Poisson sigma model. While in the generalized complex case, you don't have a generalized complex structure corresponding to a real Poisson structure. You only have this holomorphic Poisson structure. And so this is what we're giving, what we're doing right now. I think that sort of brings me to the end of the talk. I sort of maybe rushed too fast in the beginning, but if you have any questions or remarks, if you're interested in generalized geometry or generalized complex / paracomplex geometry, I'd be happy to talk about it. Yeah, basically the most of the story can be summarized as sort of like repeating the arguments around the complex case. But not only repeating them, but also coming up with some new interesting examples of topological theories that just haven't been explored before, mostly because people were not interested in paracomplex geometry. But I also think that ultimately, just because I believe that this t-duality picture should come up, I would think that the usual topological theories should also live sort of within that picture. Like in particular, you might sort of like maybe expect, because like there's a relatively nice story about t-duality on just generalized scalar manifolds. So you might expect, like, if it happens that these two manifolds are in particular both generalized scalar. So how you can just take a generalized scalar manifold and just cross it with maybe like itself, like just take some four-dimensional torus, cross it four-dimensional torus of different radius, that gives you a paracomplex structure, and you build a generalized paracomplex structure from the generalized data on both of the foliations, and maybe see that sort of picture coming up where it sort of like factorizes more.
Can I ask